Our first reading is taken from 2 Timothy, and when I find it, and I'll be reading from verses 8 to 10. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. The second reading now is taken from Matthew, and it's 2:1-12, the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written: but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. A star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen.
To have an epiphany is to have a moment of sudden and great revelation or realization. An epiphany is when someone's ways of thinking or acting get completely renewed or transformed. An epiphany is when things change for you. Friday was the 12th day of Christmas, and apart from drummers drumming, and it is the final day of the Christmas season, according to the Christian calendar. And after the celebration of Christmas comes Epiphany. Our modern word epiphany has its roots in the Greek word that means manifestation. And a manifestation is something that comes into being. And the celebration of Epiphany is about the manifestation of Jesus in the world. The celebration of Epiphany is about celebrating the wonder of God's revelation to all the world as Jesus Christ. In our reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy, we had these words. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it's now been revealed through the appearing or the epiphany of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Up until Jesus' birth, God's revelation was to the Jews alone, and they were supposed to have been a light to the Gentiles. Yet that light, which was supposed to have been shining into the world, didn't make that much of an impression. And so God in Jesus did a new thing. An epiphany signaled the changing of the ages. The ultimate epiphany, the ultimate change in direction, is found in Jesus. In Jesus' birth, the light of God's revelation is discerned in the stars by a group of seers or sages from a distant land. In Jesus' birth, Gentiles saw that God was doing something new. And in the homage of the Magi, we see that God's revelation in Jesus was now to the whole world. The Magi saw that something new was happening. It was not the Jews who first discerned for themselves the coming of God's worldwide multi-ethnic kingdom. That's why the Magi are the focus of the Christian celebration of Epiphany. Yet our Christmas card image of the Magi is not always an accurate one, because some quite elaborate traditions have emerged that have dramatically enlarged the account of the Magi that we find in Matthew's Gospel, which, as we've heard, is quite sparse in its detail. Calling Magi wise men is not inaccurate. It's probably the best translation of Magi into English. But calling them kings probably is inaccurate. Magi were likely to have been advisors to Persian or Babylonian royalty rather than being royalty themselves. And it's also inaccurate to assume that there were only three of them. The number three has been associated with the Magi because they brought three gifts. However, there could have been more or less. There certainly would have been a whole entourage that went with them. Servants accompanied important people on their own, and certainly would have done on a 900-mile trip from Persia or Babylonia. And it certainly didn't take long for the early church to give lots of extra detail to the lives of the Magi, which certainly didn't come from the Bible. This is a Roman mosaic that comes from Ravenna. Comes from 547 AD, and by this time, along the top there, it's not very clear on the image, it says Belshazzar, Melchior and Caspar. They were given names. These names, of course, don't come from the Bible. They were made up. As convenient and lovely as it is, it's a work of fiction. And their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh, we've just sung in a song that they have these elaborate meanings. Those elaborate meanings were also made up by the early church. The symbolism attached to them as being gold, a kingly gift, frankincense, a priestly gift, and myrrh, one because it's embalming dead bodies, foreshadows Jesus' sacrificial death, weren't likely in the mind of the Magi when they presented the gifts, or even in Matthew's mind as he records their story, but they were just simply gifts that were fitting for a king being born. The traditions of the three kings, though, have become so ingrained in our collective Christmas consciousness that even we read so much more into this simple story of the Magi. There are no mentions of camels or ships. There's no mention of the imagery that makes T.S. Eliot's famous poem, The Journey of the Magi, so evocative. However, despite there being so much added to the story, there is much in it that can inspire us today. Matthew's account is passing on the information that has been shared to him, and it is about something to do with Jesus. Because in Matthew's gospel it is always about Jesus, because that's what the gospels were about. The events occurred when Herod was king, and this was between the period of 37 BC to March 4 BC. And the Magi visited Herod in Jerusalem because that was the most obvious place for a new Jewish king to be born. Herod, though, is a paranoid sort, as we thought about last week. And he sends them on their way because he sees that there is a threat to his throne and asks them to come back. And the Magi journey the last 5 miles to the city of David, Bethlehem, where, according to the prophecy of Micah, the Messiah will be born. And a star guides them to the right house where they find Jesus. And it wasn't likely that the shepherds were already there when the Magi arrived, because the weight of opinion is that the Magi arrived anything up to 2 years after Jesus was born. 2 years previous being when the star appeared to set them on their quest, hence Herod killing all the children under 2 years old. Mary and Joseph are probably relocated to Bethlehem from Nazareth at this point, probably living with Joseph's family. And that means the Magi probably didn't visit them in a stable. So the Magi arrive, present their gifts, even though they are far from common. They are important. But the most important thing that Matthew records is that the Magi bowed down and worshipped Jesus. These words that Matthew uses are words that are only used when someone comes to venerate a god. The Magi, in their actions, acknowledge who Jesus really is. The worship of Jesus is the whole point of their journey. It's not the giving of gifts, however handy they would have been for a commodity for a family to sell. No, the whole purpose of their journey was to worship Jesus. And after they've done this, after a 900-mile journey, they go home. And that's it. That's all we know of the Magi. They fade in recorded history and only are remembered because of their pilgrimage to see the child that they foresaw as being the King of the Jews. Despite not having all of these trappings that we have given it, this is an amazing story, that these foreign dignitaries left their lavish lives in a royal household to travel for months across unforgiving territory just because they believed that a celestial occurrence that they had foreseen was going to lead them to the birth of a foreign king. They pieced all this information together, and they simply wanted to pay homage. Why? What could have convinced these educated people to do this? To take a hazardous journey to worship a king who was not even going to be their king? Why? The only answer is that the Magi had an epiphany. That the God of Israel had worked in their minds, in the minds of these Gentiles, and inspired them to go to Bethlehem. God had chosen Israel as his people, but he had not restricted himself to working solely within the people of Israel. In the Old Testament, we see him working in people such as Melchizedek, Balaam, and Zeres, people outside the people of Israel that he chose to reveal his plans to. And these Gentile Magi saw that something new was happening. These Gentile magi were inspired by God and became some of the first people to go and worship Jesus. And the magi, through their epiphany, became the forerunners of all who came from outside the people of Israel to worship Jesus. The magi are forerunners. The magi were the first ones who saw the light of God in the Gentile world revealed in Jesus Christ. At the start of a new year, many people will make a New Year's resolution. Something significant that we want to do in our lives, but not so significant that we feel guilty about not doing it a few days later. However, it's maybe not a resolution we need to make at the beginning of a new year. Maybe rather than a resolution, what we actually need is an epiphany. What we need is something to come and turn us around in our tracks and set us on a different course for living in the year ahead. Or maybe what we need is actually a series of epiphanies through this year ahead. A series of things where God comes and turns us around in our tracks and causes us to come and worship Him in all and reorientate our priorities and goals in life. How might we find these God-inspired epiphany moments in our lives? The Magi were doing exactly what they normally did, looking to the stars for answers. And maybe we just need to do what we do, our everyday lives, carrying on and seeing where God might be speaking to us through them, where God can reveal something new to us through the things that we always do, working, shopping, reading, listening to music, watching the telly, enjoying the natural world, doing the gardening. Epiphany moments can happen wherever we are as a follower of Jesus because God can reveal Himself to anyone. Epiphany moments can happen in situations where we connect something we've heard, something in the Bible, something in a conversation from house group, something from the words of a book, something that connects and makes us seek something more. Epiphany moments come when they're least looked for, but they shouldn't be ignored. Epiphany moments can happen at any time, but they require a response. Because to have an epiphany is to have a moment of sudden or great revelation or realization. An epiphany is when our ways of thinking or acting get renewed and transformed. An epiphany is to be changed. An epiphany moment can possibly lead to a change in behaviour. You start treating people differently, putting aside anger and jealousy, putting aside apathy and prejudice, embracing forgiveness and grace, embracing peace and reconciliation, reading your Bible more, trying new ways of praying, preparing yourself more for gathered worship. An epiphany moment could be a change in thinking, becoming less glass half empty and becoming more glass half full in your attitudes, becoming less stressed because you're not getting your own way in every little thing and becoming more willing to see that difference is not a threat. An epiphany moment can be a change in a focus of your devotion and worship. Recognizing that you've invested too much of your devotion and worship in things, money or status. Recognizing that you've worshipped tradition in the past, rather than seeking to worship and honor Jesus in all things. An epiphany can bring change in all areas of our lives. But epiphany moments will do one thing, if they are true epiphany moments. They will lead you closer to Jesus. The Magi were led 900 miles in their epiphany. We probably won't have to go so far to worship Jesus. But our epiphany moments, if they are true epiphany moments, will lead us to Jesus, greater worship of Jesus, greater moments where we acknowledge who Jesus truly is in our lives. An epiphany moment can lead us to something new and exciting, something that draws us from where we are to closer to Jesus. Epiphany moments are not supposed to be few and far between in our lives as followers of Jesus, but become a part of our lives as the Holy Spirit progressively reveals to us the ways of the kingdom of God. So in this new year, take time to follow through on those epiphany moments that will always come, often when you least expect them. Take the time to worship Jesus with the whole of your life, in a new and fresh way through 2024. Because being led into a deeper worship of Jesus is the whole purpose of our journey through life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to us in a new way in this new year, we pray. Amen.